I've got a special treat for everyone today. It's my favorite song, sung by one of our Mexican friends. Scoot up your chair.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Now for all Spanish-speaking people en el Monte Calvario estaba una cruz, emblema de afrenta y dolor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mas yo amo esa cruz, do murió mi Jesús por salvar al más vil pecador. Oh, yo siempre amaré esa cruz. En sus culpas mi gloria será. Y algún día en vez de una cruz mi corona Jesús me dará. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Change it someday for a crown.
In Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to read two verses, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 reads like this: Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. When I read those words, "You shall have tribulation 10 days, I don't know exactly what this is referring to. I do know that this message was to the angel of the church in Smyrna, which we all believe is the pastor. Was he telling the pastor that you shall have tribulation 10 days because God knew that he would be martyred within 10 days? If so, this letter came at a good time to encourage him to be faithful until he died, because Jesus promised him a crown of life. This could be why he told the pastor of the church, "You're going to suffer or have tribulation 10 days. Then I read, James wrote almost the same thing that John wrote. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, James wrote, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." This is a promise, and God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. God is not a man. I like that phrase. God is not a man that he should lie. Men lie to you. Friends lie to you. The government lies to you. But God is not a man. He is God, and God cannot lie. He is the Almighty God of all truth. God is not a man. He is not slack concerning his promises. He is not a man to lie to you about a promise that he has made to them that love him, to them that are faithful. Not only did James write about a crown, we find that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He was talking about a crown of rejoicing. And then Paul wrote to Timothy and says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them." I like that word, all. Who does the word all include? Every one of them that love his appearing. John was familiar with crowns. He saw Jesus when he wore the first crown. He wrote in John 19 in verse 5, "Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe." John was there. John saw this. He saw his master wearing a crown of thorns. But let me tell you, friend, that was not the last time he saw Jesus wearing a crown. Because I read in Revelations 14 and 14, John says, "I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon that cloud, one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a difference a resurrection makes. Before our Lord wore that golden crown, he wore the crown of thorns. The thorns come before the gold. The testing comes before the reward. Don't you know that God is faithful? And he says, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death." Jesus is telling the pastor and all of us who read this that the overcomer shall not be hurt of the second death. In Revelation 21, we find him talking about the overcomer. He says that he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But then the question arises, what about those who do not overcome, those who are not faithful unto death, those who die during the rebellion, those who have been unfaithful and have not repented? What happens to them? The next verse in Revelation 21 tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. David in Psalms chapter 11 in verse 6 put it in these words, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. So is there any hope for those who have been unfaithful in the past, or for those who are unfaithful today? Is there any hope for those? I say yes, there is, because that same Jesus that gave his life on Calvary is just looking for you right now. If you are a sheep that has gone astray, he is already searching for you. And when he finds you, if you will respond with a repentance, you too will be welcomed back into his arms. He has already given his life for you. Don't you think that he would go to the end of the earth to find you should you get lost? Should you find yourself stranded because of your unfaithfulness? Do you think when the prodigal son left his home, he left the love of his parents? He may have left the father's house, but he never left the father's love. And neither can you. Nothing can take you out of his love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Even though you have turned and walked away, you've not left his love. All you've got to do, come to yourself, make your way back. You will find him waiting to receive you. He won't be standing there with his hand on his hip, a stern look on his face, shaking his head. No siree, Bob. You'll find that he'll come running to you. He'll throw his arms around you. He'll bathe you in his love and in his kisses. God wants you to come to yourself and come on home.